want to deal with a couple of texts from the Acts of the Apostles. I owe the idea for this clip from a correspondent who wrote to me and said how she'd been hearing scripture read, and this idea had struck her. The two passages I have in mind are Acts chapter 6, verses 9 to 14, and Acts 21, verses 17 to 21. The first concerns Stephen, when he was attacked, criticized, and condemned by the synagogue of the freedmen in Jerusalem. And he was on trial, and we read that they found some men that they secretly instigated to speak against Stephen, to witness against him. And this is what they said: "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." They set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place," that's the temple, of course, "and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." The second passage is in Acts chapter 21, verses 17 to 21. And it's Paul coming back to Jerusalem, and the brothers there receive him and his friends gladly. Paul tells them about the blessing of God upon the ministry in the conversion of Gentiles and so on, and they're glad about that, and they glorify God for that. And they said to him, immediately they went straight on to say, "You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed. They are all zealous for the law, and they've been told about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs." Now, let me say straight away, I'm not going to build any major doctrine on these two passages. The point I have to make is very simple indeed. It's just really one point. So, as I say again, there is no major doctrine coming here. I wouldn't build a doctrine on it because it's not a doctrinal passage. And what is more, what we have here is words in the mouths of those who oppose the gospel, Stephen and Paul and so on. And what is more, it's not just their words. We have their words second hand, third hand, maybe even fourth hand. So we're a long way removed from what they might have actually said. But I'm just taking the impression, and that's why I've called this clip Impressions. Impressions. The impression that these witnesses give is clearly one where these men, Stephen and Paul, were saying things about the temple and about the law and the practices of the law and so on. In other words, they were speaking about the old covenant. And it would appear from these witnesses that the apostles, I take it it's just not Stephen, I take it it's just not Paul, but these preachers were preaching against the law, as these witnesses would say. Now, in my view, and I judge this by the apostles' letters, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, and so on, and the other apostles' letters, I judge it that these men were actually preaching Christ. But from what I read of the apostle in Romans 6 to 8, Romans 10, what I read of him in Galatians, Ephesians 2, Philippians 3, 2 Corinthians 3, when I read the letter to the Hebrews, and so on. And all these passages, Colossians 2, 16 to 17, Colossians 3, what I read in these passages, I see the apostles' teaching on the law. And when I say the apostles, I'm using the plural there. Hebrews chapter 8, for example. Galatians chapter 3, for example. I can read that Christ came into the world, fulfilled the old covenant, the law, in all its particulars, completed the will of God, Hebrews chapter 10, and by fulfilling the law, abolished it. Now, I can see that in those passages written as plain as a pikestaff. So, reading between the lines of these false witnesses, I can see that the early preachers were preaching Christ as the fulfillment of all the shadows of the law, that the old covenant was now abolished because Christ was the reality. The day of the candles was over. The Son of Righteousness had arisen. I can see, I can hear the preachers preaching Christ. The temple, the Sabbath, the priest, the law, the priesthood, the altar, the sacrifices, all of it. Christ. Christ. Christ is the reality. I can read this plain as I say in all those passages. Galatians, Hebrews, 2 Corinthians 3, and so on and so on. Now, I see that in the life of Christ, John chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, when he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it again. This was brought up at his trial, Matthew 26, 60 to 61. Just like Stephen. Paul also is confronted with a similar sort of issue. And Christ, of course, gives us the key to how we should interpret and understand what is being said here. If you go to Acts 24, verse 14, and 25, verse 8, you will find that it's not Paul preaching against anything, but rather he is preaching for the gospel. He is preaching Christ. And when a man preaches the gospel, preaches Christ, the impression must be given that he's preaching against the law, against the old covenant, the temple, the Sabbath, the sacrifices and all the rest, because he's saying that Christ is the reality and the fulfillment of all those. That we don't go to the temple now. We don't keep the Sabbath now. We don't sacrifice with the priesthood of Aaron anymore, and so on, because Christ is the reality. Colossians 2, 16 to 17. So I can see what's being said here. Now, the point I want to make is this. I am what is known as a New Covenant theologian. I write about it, I preach about it, I speak about it. And for that, I'm not complaining, but for that, I'm accused of being an antinomian. Dismissed, out of hand, antinomianism. Now, of course, I'm not alone in that. Any New Covenant theologian is going to be the same. I go further. Any man who truly preaches the gospel of the free grace of God in Christ must meet that accusation. Paul met it. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 3. I believe that Christ met it. I believe that Stephen met it. I believe in the passage I've quoted here from Acts, Paul met it. Now, if you read the works of Calvin, the Puritans, and listen to the sermons of those who follow these teachings, covenant theologians, the Westminster Confession, the 1689 Baptist Confession. If you read their works and hear their sermons, you could never get the impression that they were anti-law, anti-temple, anti-Sabbath. You would think they were pro-law. Calvin teaches them that the law is the whip to drive lazy believers, lazy donkeys, lazy asses, to whip them into sanctification. The law is preached to prepare sinners for Christ. No man could accuse a covenant theologian, a reformed man, of being anti-law. But Jesus was accused of it. Stephen was accused of it. Paul was accused of it. And this is the point I want to make. Unless we can be accused of antinomianism, it's false. Those of us who are preaching free grace, it's a false accusation. I speak for myself. It's a false accusation. Nevertheless, unless I can be accused of it, I am not preaching the free grace of God in Christ, the gospel, as I should be preaching. It's not that I'm preaching against the law, the temple, the Sabbath. I am preaching the fulfillment of all those symbols and shadows in the reality, Jesus Christ. And this is the point I want to leave with you. If you are preaching, right, if you are a believer and speaking in any way, in any witness, in any form, if this accusation cannot be leveled against you, you're against the law, you're an antinomian, then, my friend, I tell you sincerely and out of love for you, affection, you cannot be fully preaching the grace of God at that point. That's what I learned from these passages. I've not built any major doctrine on it. I know, though, that the accusation that was laid against Jesus, Stephen, Paul, and all the rest of them is being laid at my door. I'm not ashamed of it or afraid of it. I am relieved it is so. This is the glory of free grace in Jesus Christ. And this, to me, is New Covenant theology.